Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How are we doing?
Get Woody on it.
Too soon?
maybe a couple more words, Tommy. I think a couple more words would have probably been more beneficial. What an episode.
Pissed on the bonfire there, aren't you? How are we doing? Episode 2, Series 11. I'm going to put it out there and say this is better than the first one.
Yeah? Big statement, isn't it?
Personally. The Charlton story, the Newcastle story is unbelievable.
Well, you've edited it, so... Yeah. I'm going to trust you on it. And I really enjoyed the first one. Mm. Like, yep. I've said, up there in my top five.
Don't just hear me giggling like a little girl in the background.
So I hope everybody's... I hope we didn't big it up too much, because we did big it up, didn't we?
Yeah. We did.
But I think it were warranted. Are you lucky?
Downstairs?
Yeah.
Oh, little mention to our sponsors for the episode, Manscaped.
Have you charged
I'm looking blue fantastic.
Yeah?
Oh, is it charged?
Light on.
A few stragglers in there, actually.
Oh, no. Don't blow them this way. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, light and everything. Well, you need it, don't you? Especially with undercarriage.
Well, you're doing
Jesus.
Yes, Manscaped. The number one men's below the belt.
Grooming kit,
yes.
Can't recommend it highly enough.
No. Mine have never smelt so good. Never looked, smelt and felt so good.
Oof. Precision engineering tool for the family jewels. Hey, you like that one? It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Incredible.
You can just let it do all the work. I love it.
No, need to add no pressure. No.
Don't force it.
No.
No.
No pressure. Just get it down there. Get the bits you need doing, bush, job done.
They've got the top engineers on it from NASA. I don't know, but they're really good engineers. Right. The last thing you want to be doing is nicking the old nuggets when you're having a trim. With this bit of kit.
You must agree, I know you've only just recently started doing it, haven't you?
Yeah.
You must agree, it's much more hygienic and it looks better.
Oh, it looks better.
It's better for Rose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Kissable balls.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's what you want, gents.
That's all we all want, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we're after in life.
Yeah.
Balls you can kiss.
Just want kissable balls.
Yeah. They're smooth.
So is Rose as happy with this?
Oh, yeah, and the fragrance as well.
Yeah,
that's a big help.
I've used the fragrance,
have you?
Yeah.
And if you get saggy balls, we've got a ball toner as well.
Ooh.
Just to, you know, like...
Takes years off them. Adds a good inch as well, I must say, once you've trimmed it. Yeah. Especially in these winter months, you need it, don't you?
Well, the last thing is, you want to come home from work, the missus has bang on it, and she gets to your belly button and thinks, I'm heading back.
He's had a long day in the office.
I'm heading back north.
Reverse. Yeah.
I'm heading back north. It's in your head, you're thinking, oh, fucking bingo. Bingo, bingo, bongo. And then she starts coming back up, gets to the belly button, blows fluff out of it, and then comes back north.
It's the Manscaped Performance Package. With the under-the-cosh code, COSH20, that's 20% off, and no postage or packaging. The toner.
We're naturals, aren't we?
We've got the smellies. We've got...
The wash bag.
The 0.30 Manscaped trimmer. And the old nose trimmer. Zzz, zzz,
zzz. That's an option, isn't it?
And
that works.
Get on the old nose, get in the ears, keep them trimmed. 79% of ladies and gentlemen said it was a bit of a turn-off.
Really?
I can see that. You've got
the old stragglers coming
out. I'd be
part
of that 79.
Yeah. But no, it's all in there and you get 20% off with the code COSH20. All you've got to do is... go to manscaped.com and put in the code COSH20.
The perfect gift. Off. Struggling to buy for someone, the perfect gift. And if you buy it for your gentleman, you buy it for yourself as well, a little bit, which women like, don't they?
Would you be offended if the missus got you one of these?
Not at all.
Do you think you've been letting things go a little bit?
No. Sometimes you just need a little push in the right direction, don't you?
Yeah. Well, Yeah. So get over manscaped.com, use the code COSH20.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, the keeper that came on for Woody when he got sent off for Exeter messaged us, Ross Bellotti.
Right.
And he said Woody was unbelievable around the changing room.
And was he 15, 16?
16, I think he was, yeah.
Ah, there we
he
go,
sent us the newspaper clippings of his games and stuff.
You can see how people love him right here.
Yeah.
Can't you?
If I'm a manager, I'm making him my first signing as coach. Keeper coach.
I'll
make a job for him.
I wonder why he's not got a thing with England.
I know.
He's doing the youth at Arsenal now.
Yeah.
You know? So he must be doing it.
But didn't you get a message off him about the England manager?
Yeah. Crying with laughter, apparently.
Who, Gareth?
Big
so we've made Gareth laugh.
We've entertained the England manager?
Yeah. Apparently he's asking us to go and do the Euros. He wants us to go and do an episode with him, live.
He went to motivational talk.
Team morale.
4-4 fucking 2, lads.
We'll be dancing on the bar like Mike Bassett. Yeah. But no, he's...
You're lying, John.
I'm talking shit, yeah. Of course I am, yeah.
Peter Beardsley. Apparently he was loving it, so I don't know how he knows about that.
Peter Beardsley?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
What he said. Oh, he said he's had loads of messages.
Messages from people
manager.
That have listened.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, Peter Beardsley.
Right, Peter.
Big Pete.
Big Pete.
Yeah, you were a great
you know, hopefully listen to the audio.
Gareth as well. Oh. Hiya, Gareth.
Hi, guys.
Mr. Southgate, how are we doing? Hey, good luck at them Euros.
Yeah,
do not, whatever you do, take fucking Dele Alli. It's fucking crap. Do not take Dele. Leave Dele at all. Let him go to Dubai with family. I didn't realise Peter Beardsley's message, would he?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Peter, it's a heartfelt invitation from us to you. Would you like to come on the show, Peter? We'd love to have you on.
Love to see you, Peter.
You're hero, innit?
Come on down. Oh, yeah.
Big Liverpool fan, weren't you back in the day?
Hey, but he played for Bolton.
Did he?
Peter,
yeah, he did.
His twilight years.
Must have been about 76, wasn't he, when he played Bolton?
Something like that.
He carried on for a while, blessing, didn't he?
Should we get Woody back in?
Yes.
But just a quick, Peter or Gareth, if you want to come on, you're more than welcome.
And if you before we get going, if you are enjoying the episodes, we've got the bonus ones on the Patreon.
Which
helps support the podcast on it and helps us keep going. So just go on over to patreon.com, the link's in the description, / under the cosh. £2.50 a month and you get two extra episodes.
There must be.
There's a good 25.
There must be 25 plus on there now, and you get the back catalogue. So what more can you want?
And if you haven't already, please subscribe.
Yes.
But this is a heartfelt message.
Yeah, this is us begging.
Peter.
This is us begging.
Peter, hit that subscribe button, Peter.
Come on, Gareth. Hit that subscribe, Mr. Southgate.
So should we get Woody in?
Yeah. Well, he's already here, isn't he? It's part two.
Every week, without fail. Everybody knows he's not here, John.
Oh, right.
They don't want to hear our voices, do they?
We're just painting a picture.
Right.
Creating a canvas.
Woody, you better done it toilet, Woody. Did you do anything before him before you signed for him?
Well, it's funny because I got the call to kind of speak to him, and weirdly enough, I think I might have been on a golf day or something like that, and I bumped into Steve Coppell. And I said, "Hey, Gaffer, how are you keeping it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you up to?" I said, "Oh, I'm going to go have talks with Stevenage." And he went, "Oh," he said, "Seriously, fucking think hard about that one." And I thought, "What's he on about?" He said, "He's a fucking head case." I thought, well, it can't be that bad. I've fucking had hackers for years. Fuck me. And anyway, I went and had talks with Graham Wesley, and fuck me, I was like, what a man. I was like, he said, we're going to do this. I want you to be part of this. I come out there, I run with me, I said, I'm signing for him. He's fucking on it, this geezer. He wants to keep it professional. And oh my God, I couldn't be further from the truth. Fucking disaster. We'd lose a game on a Saturday, and fucking 7 o'clock on a Monday, we'd be running up and down the pitch, and he'd be sitting in his Batman. We called it the Batmobile. He used to have this black
Bentley.
No, he didn't have a Bentley. He had a Mercedes with his lights on the phone while we was just running up and down on the pitch, 7 o'clock in the morning, pissing rain. And we said, look at him in a fucking Batmobile while we're running like that. Well, that's what he did to us. And then he was crackers, mate.
I can see what you said when you said when you spoke to him, you thought, incredible.
Yeah, I was blown away. And then after a game, did he ever do that? Like, go through everyone's performance and like mark them. So we had, like, he'd be like, you, I thought you was a 5 out of 10 today. I was like, well, I'll take that. You know, fucking hell, fucking one of your better games.
Thanks, Graham.
Yeah, fucking cheers, Graham. You got what you paid for, mate. And he'd go for everyone like that. And he'd been there like hours. And then he had a goalie coach called Lionel Perez. You ever come across him?
Ex-Sunderland keeper.
Oh, what a belter. I mean, talk about you never
get.
Yeah.
Didn't know he was down there.
He'd broke his leg, so I was going in to replace him. He had his leg in a cage, and he'd come in with his crutches. And he'd go, fucking you need to do fucking better. And I'd be like, fucking you talking to? You know, I might have hit him if he had him in a cage. But because he had a cage, I probably thought, probably a bit unfair this one. But he was.
I can win it.
Yeah. Don't think the lads are jumping too quickly on this one. But, I mean, how about this? We played a game, lost, obviously, and then on the Monday, he's got us all mopping the tunnel. We come out and the lads sweeping the terraces, and he said, well, you're going to be until 5 o'clock. You look 7 till 5 today. I was like, well, fucking hell, what's all that about? He said, you're mopping through the dressing rooms, through the hallway. That's 32. So you can imagine what I was like, fucking hell, I must be the most expensive mop man in the country. Like, just to wind him up. And he kept us there until 5 o'clock, and he was like relentless like that.
Yeah, it was mad.
You get a text, you ever get a text on a Sunday?
He's renowned for that though, with Preston.
You get a text on a Sunday, fucking, I don't know, retirement looms for you. Like, blah, 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 you're nowhere near the keeper, GW. And I'd be like, normally on a Sunday, you know, it's like on a Sunday, I'll be over the club with mates. Who the fuck are you? And then on this one particular day, I'd obviously fucking thought, I'd had probably a beer, and I thought, fuck, I ain't having that. I'm a fucking grown man. So I've rung him up. So who the fuck are you talking, like, answer phone? Who the fuck are you talking to? If you want to speak to me, speak to man, you prick. And like, let him have a bit, and then put the phone down, thought nothing of it. Getting in on the Monday, thought nothing, didn't even think about the phone call. Like, obviously, see him in the office. Oh, what's up? Presses play. Do you think this is right? He speaks to your manager. Fuck me, I listened to it. I thought, fuck me, he's a bit out of order. That keys on there. I think to myself, that fucking sounds like me. I think to myself, Jesus Christ, I've let him have it a little bit here. And then that was it, really. I had a clause, if I played 25 games, I got another year. And on the 24th game, he said, I'm not playing you no more. Unless you waiver the clause. I said, well, why would I do that? I said, like, I wouldn't
have half happy though, weren't
you? Yeah, buzzing. But then, do you know what he'd done to me, right? He'd done something that no one's ever done to me, right? And actually, it pissed me right off. He said to me, you can, I mean, first of all, he left his door ajar. So the bloke secretary was sitting there. And then he said to me, you wouldn't even fucking hit me if I come at you, would you? And I was thinking to myself, well, I don't know. I probably have a time. And then he grabbed me. And he's only got my missus in the morning. He said, because you know I was going to see him. Whatever you do, don't hit him, because that's, we'll have no money, we'll be sacked. I said, no, I won't do that. He grabbed me around the throat. He said, look, you ain't got no balls to hit me. And he was trying to get me, flare up, so the other guy could say, you were just sacked. You know, you're out. And I didn't, weirdly enough. I was like, yeah, you've got to pay me up, mate. And he said, well, look, go home for 30 days. I'll see you back here the 1st of February, 9 o'clock, don't be late. So, oh, happy days. Went home. After like 4 days at home, I was like, fucking hell, this is hard work, this. Turned up on the 1st of February, 30 days later, he went, yeah, you're on time, we go home now another 30 days. I was like, fucking hell. This is fucking painful.
What woman pulling around that most you are, your missus.
Yeah, missus, yeah. She was like, fucking hell. How many times you can walk that dog? It was like a nightmare. And like, and
pissing then, the Jimmy Gloss patio.
Yeah, exactly, pointing the patio up nicely. And then I left, you know, and then that season, and it's weirdly, right, weird how, I'm a great believer in karma and certain things that go my way anyway. And years later, so he knocked me for some money. I think he owed me about $9,000. And I couldn't be bothered. You know, you just get to the point, he'd broken me that much. Yeah. No, I can't be bothered. And years later, I was at West Ham and I had a missed call. And I rang it back. He said, Woody, it's Graham Wesley. How are you doing? I said, Graham, how are you? He laughed. He said, well, here we go. He went, you got any good young strikers at West Ham that might want to come here alone? I went, yeah. I said, and I screw him right in lovely. I went, yeah, we've got fucking so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. you know, I drink, you have a word. I went, absolutely no chance. You knocked me for $9,000. Now, fuck off.
That felt better than
it was lovely, mate. Pathetic, but it's lovely. I drew him right in, like, yeah, so we've got so and so here. We've got, I might be Junior Stanislas. I said, he'll definitely come. He loves me. He'll go. Drew him right in. He went, I'd have a word. I went, absolutely fucking no chance. He's done me a $9,000. And I went home to my missus, happy and proud. Like, I said, got him back eventually. And then obviously we went to Newcastle, drew him in a cup, and he fucking beat us. So I was like, hi, Graham, how are you?
Tell you what, he used to have your meetings for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I used to come out of a meeting, and you'd obviously need a piss because you were in that long. And you'd come out thinking, fucking hell, he's right what he's saying. Right, and then halfway through your piss, you'd think, fuck me, he nearly got me there. He's full of fucking shit. He nearly got me.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable fella.
He's willing to take a broken nose to get you out the club, to not pay you some money.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Mad, innit?
Unbelievable. And then the funny, Dino Manuera was like his enforcer, Dino. Yeah,
his assistant.
I didn't like Dino. I've got to be honest, I didn't like him. And the only reason I didn't like him is because he used to go through keepers all the time, and it used to piss me off seeing him, like, you know, 80-20 ball in his favour, and he'd go right through a keeper. I said, I'm not having that. And Graham used to love that. And that was always in my head. And then one year on Donnelly in Dubai, I was sitting on the beach, and he come up the beach fucking ripped.
Oh, he's ripped,
proper. And I said to my boy, fucking, I don't like this kid. He's playing with me. So I went, fucking speak to him. And literally, he got within 5 yards. He went, all right, Woody, how are you? I went, Allah, do you know what I'm saying? And my boy went, fucking told him there, didn't you? fucking hell, let myself down there, didn't I? And then, you know what I mean? Then you just suddenly think, fucking hell, what am I doing? Not speak to him, like, you know. He looked at the bollocks, all oiled up. And obviously, I put my T-shirt on. You know? I'm not. Jim's been shut lately, mate.
I once had him in Newport. He went to gym in Newport, and I just kept hiding him behind equipment going. And he was like that. Oh, but fucking hell. But he just breaks that. He's half like a cult, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like, I mean, even if it's pre season, I'd have this fucking thing on my back. Like I'm talking like a pole, I don't know what it was, a log with weights on it. I couldn't even lift it. And I'm running around the field. I feel myself. Yeah, this is good for me, yeah. I get fit. I feel myself, fucking what am I doing? Like, you know, it was mental, you know, and it was just so many things. And in the end, I was like, oh, I'm done.
So these meetings that you come out and you think, is it like motivational?
Because is that good a speaker?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Is he?
Is that good a speaker that you like, you have? Well, you believe it.
No eye in team and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And it was fresh on the circuit, all that, then, wasn't it? And I was like, oh, this geez is well out of his time. Fucking hell, he wasn't. Oh, Jesus Christ. Fucking nightmare.
He must have been quite young then, was he? Because he can't be that old now.
Yeah, and he was quite fitness guy, like, and he was always running and doing this. He tried to mug me off one day. He did. Like trying to mug me in front of the lads. He said, oh, I've got a bad back. You couldn't do my laces up, could you? I said, what? He said, you couldn't do my laces up. I can't do my laces up. And I was like, there we go. A little test here. Older pro. I said, yeah. Put him up here, big fella. I'll do him up like that. I've done his laces up. Fucking trying to try it. There you go. Off you go. I thought, you ain't going to fucking get him undone. A lot of blood stopping in his foot. He was like, you know, what sort of bloke, you know, always trying to make sure everyone, I'm little the boss.
And yeah.
Weren't for me at all. Pre-season, so he takes us to this gym, boxing.
This rattled my street, this.
I feel so. I know exactly what's coming here, right? I can tell you what's coming here. Everyone partner up. I was like, partner up with someone your own size. I feel so, fucking hell. Looking around, like everyone's partnered up. Two little fellas. Everyone, all their mate, me. I'll go with you. No, Woody, you're with the pro boxer. What? So the pro boxer in the gym, right? I swear to God, right? I feel so, fucking hell. Here we go. So the rule is you go in with a boxer or your partner. So you get in the ring you've got the head guard on, and he says, right, the rules are all weak hand punching. If you go with a big haymaker, then you're going to get one back. Oh, okay. Well, fuck me. I ain't got the best fuse in the world, have I? So I'm dancing around. I can hear all the lads get it. Go on, Woody. Fucking lads are on me. Yeah, like that. Fucking, they love this. So I'm dancing around, and then he snaps a little punch at me. Fucking hell, that hurt my neck. I mean, he's like, fucking hell, that hurt. So anyway, I'm trying to throw my left, which is pathetic. Nothing, not even getting near him. And now he's almost like laughing at me, and I can hear the lads going, go on, buddy! And I'm thinking, yeah, yeah, fucking hell, yeah. Jabbed me again. I thought I broke my neck. Like, fucking hell, spells. So I've obviously lost my head and thrown one like with the other hand. Missed. Miles. And all I remember him saying was, remember the rules. You're going to get one back. I think so. Oh, no. And like, I'm not joking you. He threw a jab at me. Fucking hell. I saw like... And all the lads is, oh, hang in there, Woody. Hang in there, Woody. And I'm like, Wesley, he ain't calling time, mate. I'm telling you. And I'm feeling so, fucking hell, I just want to go home.
Did you go down?
No, I didn't. I just clung on to, I know, it was in the road. I could just hear the lads, like, half the lads giving it, like... Well, the dressing was quite split. There was a few pros and there was a few non-league boys. The non-league boys weren't having the pros. They all thought, they're not good enough. And we all thought they weren't good enough. I could see all the non-league boys getting fucking brilliant, that flash fucker. And I could see all the pros getting, come on, Woody, fucking hell, come on. And I'm like, fucking hell, I just called it a day. And like, mate, he hit me so hard, I thought I broke my neck. Fucking brilliant.
Well, I don't know if you were there, but he had Josh Walker on loan from Watford. And Wesley said, look, you're soft as shit, you. Come from Watford in Championship, maybe. Soft as shit. You need to go and see this boxer, the gym guy. So he fucking proper towelled him, right? He's woke up next day, he looks like fucking Elephant Man, right? Josh Walker. So he's obviously sent a photo through to Watford, whoever's... So look, he sent me for boxing, look at the fucking state of me. Just pulled him straight back, fucking get out of there.
Ah.
But Wesley thought that was all right.
Yeah,
toughen him up.
Yeah, toughen him up.
Toughen him up.
Fucking hell, broke my neck. Fucking hell. It's like Christopher Reeve in goal. Fucking hell. Honestly, I never forget. Lads were buzzing. Didn't even get beat up.
So you were glad to get shot then?
Yeah, so I left there, yeah. And then, I don't know what happened after that. I went and played.
Crystal Diamonds?
Yeah, funny enough... I had a little spell selling photocopies of Keith and that. Did you? I had a little spell. I got talked into selling photocopies. Didn't sell one. We used to go out for lunch every day. I said, oh, no, just book some meetings in and all that. Anyway, I got a phone call out of the blue from Barry Hunter, Russian Diamonds. Said, look, would you kind of Russian Diamonds? And I didn't even wait for money. I went, yes. And he went, well, I didn't spoke money. I've got no money. But I said, I'll come. So I went to Russian Diamonds as player coach. Like I said, number two goalie and coach.
Is that good for you, like where you lived? And
no, I lived in London. So I travelled up to Northampton every day and back, and it was minimal. I think I got 600 quid a week, and I was doing 400 quid a week in petrol. But it was the fact that I weren't. You know, I was back in football, and so I'd go up there every day. And what happened is, it was really bizarre. We had a keeper on loan from Reading, a guy called Jamie Young, who's now really done well out in Australian leagues. Really nice kid, England under 21, and he was having a disaster. There was goals flying in, and he was like, and I say to him, like, Jamie,
you're having an exit to you.
Yeah, exactly that. And I didn't have the art to sort of like bury him and say, fucking hell, mate. But I thought, he's got to realise he's having, and he'd say, no, that's not a mistake. He said, that's just got that wrong. Oh, that's a mistake, mate. You know. Anyway, it kept going on and on. And then we played a guy. And I used to travel in with Barry. I used to meet him at, I don't know, on the M40 somewhere. We used to drive in together. And on this one Saturday, we played. He's thrown another one in. And Barry's fucking gone off his trolley. And he said, fucking you, you're fucking playing next week. No, I ain't trained for a season. I'm like sitting there. I'm just enjoying my best life. I'm not relaxing and no pressure. And I went, yeah. And in the midst of the rant. Didn't think nothing of it. We get to the Thursday that week of travelling in together every day. He said, you have been training, didn't you? I said, what do you mean? He said, you're playing Saturday. I said, mate, I ain't done a thing. I've not done... He said, well, you're playing Saturday. I'm sticking to my word. You're playing. I think, oh, my God. Like, this is going to be a disaster. So we played Wickham away. I'll never forget Wickham away. And they hadn't not scored at home all season. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is going to be a nightmare. I kid you not, right? I took an age over every goal kick, everything I had to do in the game. It took forever. Roger Johnson, the centre half, he was like, for fuck's sake, old man, liven up. And we come off there with a 0-0. I kid you not, right? So I've got the first clean sheet of the season, 0-0, right? I played the next four, kept four clean sheets. Like, and I mean, I'm not being funny, the ball must have been on the pitch about 16 minutes a match, because I took forever. And then the last game was at Barnet, where I come for a ball, and then I thought someone had smashed me on the ankle and I'd snapped my Achilles. And Yeah, that was a bit. That was a bit. Bit of probably the ending, really.
Yeah.
Had you done your badges?
You went as assistant manager.
Yeah. So what happened is, it was a bit bizarre, really. I mean, it was about four or five games for the end. They called me and Barry in. I hadn't played since I snapped my Achilles, so I was trying to get players in for him, ringing up clubs I've known, Palace, and that, can you loan as a player? And sort of dealing with that for Barry with the way he was doing training, because we had no staff. And then what happened is, about 4 weeks before the end of the season, they called us in, me and Barry, in for a meeting. They went to see him first. He come down, he said, look, they've sacked me. I said, what? He said, yeah, they've sacked me. He said, they want you to take over. I said, what? So I went in, and they said, look, we've sacked Barry, we want you to take over. I said, I can't do that. I said, what do you mean? I said, this man brought me in, there's no way I'm taking over. I said, like, absolutely no chance. I said, like, with all due respect, it just don't sit right with me. And then they said, well, look, you'll run the budget sheets. Any man has thinking, oh, dear, might be.
Could work, I'm sorry,
it might be a different.
Sorry, buddy.
I was looking at the budget sheets, thinking, so, company cars gone, petrol account gone. And I said to him, I said, look, I'm not going to take it. I said, I think you've got the right man for the job. I said, I think you should get him back. The players love him. So they said, well, look, can you go back and get him? So I went back to the office. I said, they want to see you, mate. He said, why? I said, they want to reinstate you. He said, you're kidding. So they reinstated him and kept us. They said, look, we keep to the end of the season. I mean, what a bizarre situation.
Yeah.
We got relegated last game of the season. Boston away.
You'd have kept them up.
Yeah.
Did you have your badges? Did you do your badges at all?
Yeah, I've done all my coaching badges.
When you were playing?
I'd done them, yeah, I did. Yeah, I'd done my goalkeeping and B and that. Yeah, I got to say, my wife filled out the form, sent them off and all that, so... She was really on to me about, you need to get your coaching badge. She must have seen what I wasn't seeing. I was useless. And yeah. You might have asked a chance.
Not sort of the photocopy.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I'd done my badges while I was playing. And then listen, I always say this. Am I the best coach in the world? No, I was lucky enough to get a friend, like most people in football, that took me with him to be his goalie coach. And then I went from there to West Ham.
So how long... Had you finished at Rushden that you...
That season. So that season at Rushden when we got sacked, Alan Pardew was at West Ham and he said, look, I want you to come as my goalie coach for the academy. So...
Had you got actual aspirations of going into coaching or do you just think, well, I might as well?
Yeah, I don't know really. I hadn't really thought about it and I couldn't really see where an opportunity was going to open up. So I hadn't really thought about it, but then I'd done that season where I'd been player coach and kind of enjoyed it a little bit. And then Pars, you know, offered me the job at West Ham in the academy, which was a really good learning curve for me to work with someone like Tony Carr, who's a legend, bringing those players for over years. So that gave me good grounding to work with someone professional and proper like Tony. And then after Ludo was first team coach, Ludo McCloskey, and he helped me as well. So between the two of them, they kind of shaped what it's like to be at a big club for me.
Ludo McCloskey,
what a guy. So I had a season there with them, and then Pards got the sack, went to Charlton. Kerbs come from Charlton to West Ham. And then I got the call from Tony to say, look, Pards wants you to go to Charlton as first team coach. So it was a no-brainer.
So not even a goalie coach, as first team coach?
No, sorry, as first team goalie coach.
Right, sorry.
Sorry, yeah, my apologies.
Oh, so you went from... So you weren't first team goalie coaching at all at West Ham?
No, at West Ham I was academy.
Right.
Academy goalie coach, which was good for me to learn the how it works and actually get a feel for the young kids. You know, you forget that as you get older, all the emotions. So that was good for me. And then the kids in my team at the time were Tompkins and Collison and all those boys, you know, Junior Stanislas, all those boys. Now I see them as grown adults.
Aren't they?
Great kids, you know, and all gone on to have great careers. So it's kind of nice that I've seen them as young boys now go on to play and have terrific careers, which is great about coaching.
Was it weird going in as coach? When you're coaching the first team keepers? At Charlton?
Yeah. So what happened is Pards had got the job at Charlton. I think Mike Kelly was there at the time. Pards, obviously, like most managers, wanted to bring his own man in and offered me the job. It was kind of funny, right? Because I met Pards on the Monday for the job at Charlton. So we met at the service station at Clackett Lane. So he said, look, mate, he said... you're a big character, right? So just go in slowly. feel your way in there.
Ease yourself then.
Yeah, ease your way in, he said. And like, I want you to be yourself because that's what you bring to the party, you know, good team spirit and banter and atmosphere and all that. He said, but just, you know, be mindful. You know, these boys are a bit fragile. I've been relegated, you know, Yeah, no problem. He said, oh, by the way, we're going to Marbella on Wednesday. No problem. He said, what touch? You know, Marbella, pre-season. Well, Thursday night, I'm on the stage dancing like this, like an idiot. And he's looked at me going, nice to see you've bedded yourself in the white. So, you know, yeah, it wasn't so much a quiet introduction, but it was good, Sean. I liked it there, good club, good people, and then obviously we had your man Weaves as well. Yeah.
So was Weaves first team keeper at Charlton when you went in then?
Yeah, so when I signed there, Pa said, look, I've got a keeper in. He said, I don't even know much about him. He said, Nicky Weaver. I said, I've known plenty about Nicky Weaver. I said, yeah, great signing. He said, yeah, I want you to work with him. Little did I know, Weaves had a knee that was hanging off still, pretty much. So like every training session, we had to kind of adapt around, I can't do that, my knee. And he did have a bad knee, but he was brilliant, Weaves. And brilliant character, as you well know, you know, he's fantastic. And he brought into the club, brought into everyone, and we all loved him, you know, and he done brilliant. And I don't know if I've told you, so there's a particular game, I wish we'd have known this before Weaves came on when he spoke to you. So I'm warming up Weaves at Charlton. And this is true as I tell a story, and only Weaves is about to say this is true. So I'm warming him up in the goal, shooting into him. Boom, I've unleashed one. It's gone, boom, like an exocet. Missed the goal, gone into the crowd. Bang, it smashed this lady. She must be about 60, reading the programme. Smashed her in the face, glasses off her chair. She's out.
Like, we shouldn't laugh, should we?
No,
we shouldn't laugh.
Honestly, she's out, right? The paramedics are coming. There's an ambulance. I'm like, fucking hell. He's like, fucking hell, you've killed her. So anyway, the game's going on. They're trying to get this lady out to an ambulance. She's like in a bad way. So we get in the dressing room and I can hear fucking Weaves. Fucking hell, gaffer. Who fucking Woody's killed a lady in the stand? He's fucking killed her. This is before a match, right? He's got tears. Pards is like, you know what he does, mate? I just went off into the crowd. I didn't know. Send someone out, get her details. You're going to fucking send her £100 worth of flowers on Monday. I thought, fucking hell, my fault. So anyway, right, she's carted off, the game goes ahead, Monday comes, fucking Pards is like, give your credit card. What do you mean? You've got a lady's address, you're going to send her £100 worth of flowers. Fucking hell. Fucking hell, I'm at work, I'm just sending her flowers. It's not her fault. Send her £100 worth of flowers. This is a true story, right? Weasel will back this up. The following week, we play away, right? So we play away. The following week after that, 2 weeks later, we're back at Charlton. So they put the goal, the warm-up goal, to the side now. So I'm not in the main goal, I'm to the side. So I'm fucking warming up, hitting balls, bang, bang, bang. Fucking one's gone astray. A different part of behind the goal, it's fucking hit the same lady in the face. I kid you not. The same lady, I kid you not. Knocked her clean off her seat, right? Weaves, he's got tears. It's the fucking same lady. I went, fucking hell, mate. Paramedics, everything, right? I swear, she's carted off again. I'm thinking, oh, no, this is fucking madness. I swear. I get in the dressing room after, Pa's went, you've hit the same lady. I went, yeah. I said,
we've got her address.
So I finished up, I said, I got a fucking set of flowers. He went, nah, she should be fucking watching. Anyway, Weaves adds to the story now, though. He says, which always makes me laugh. He says, as she was going off on the stretcher, she turned around to the paramedics and said, can you make sure he gets me roses this week? It was the same lady. Honestly, you couldn't fucking write. How can you hit the same lady 2 weeks on a spin? Yeah, that was my experience of letting one go into the crowd.
who else were you training at? Randolph?
Yeah, and Randolph and Darren Randolph and Robbie Elliott. Both really good goalkeepers, really good guys. Darren went away on pre-season. He'd played at the end of that season and everyone had high hopes. He'd done really well, apparently, at the end of the season I'd arrived. Said he played at Liverpool, done brilliant. I looked at the video, like you're doing. I mean, these kids are unbelievable saves. He'd obviously done it classic, what we said earlier, young kid, thought he'd made it. He'd gone away that pre-season to Magaluf, his mates, or wherever, come back about 2 stone overweight. He looked a mess. So Pa's like, I ain't having him, like, you know. And I was like, nah, he's all right. And then we had Robbie Elliott, who was like a classic, like, university dropout. Like, looked like a bag of spanners, Rob, most of the time. You could put Rob in an Armani suit and he'd look like a bag of spanners in it. So we had those two coming through. Randolph, we end up letting go and he went to Motherwell and kickstarted his career. And a top lad. Yeah. And I couldn't be happier for someone to have a career like he's had. And then obviously we signed Robbie Elliott. We got Robbie Elliott, then got in the team halfway through the following season through Weeds getting injured, and Robbie Elliott stayed in the team, done really well. And then we signed him at Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah.
As we signed him at Newcastle as just third choice keeper. As like, you know, I think we paid 200 grand for him. And he went on to have, I think, 9 years at Newcastle and done really well there. You know, really maxed out what I thought he could do.
Yeah.
So that
do you think
good.
It's a bit of a, obviously, goalkeeper's a strange position because there's only one who can play. So do you think there's people who get to 35 who think, I could have had a fucking incredible career, but I've done really well anyway. Do you know what I mean? Such as the guy at Newcastle, Harper. Is it Steve Harper?
Harper, yeah.
He played, what, 100 games?
Yeah, Harps.
Multi-millionaire, probably.
Yeah, Harps. I think Harps' career is like, I think he's like right about 190 games, I think he's played his whole career. 22 years at Newcastle. And I think a few of those, quite a few of those in the Championship. And I'm sure that there was moments where Harps, I'm sure Harps would tell you that he probably should have forced in the team in front of Shea and probably deserved to, but maybe he didn't. That wasn't the sort of character to be like that. And there was probably times, well, I know that we tried to sign him at West Ham at one point. And he didn't come. So you know, I'm sure that there'll be moments where Harps maybe looks back in one breath and thinks probably could have, you know, kicked on and played 400 or 500 games. But then it comes back to, and I'm not saying this is right, what I'm going to say. It comes back to that. Are you better off playing 500 games like I did, or are you better off having 10 million quid in the bank?
Yeah.
It's the decision.
What decision you make? I went for the 500 games. I can tell you live on air, that's the wrong decision. You know, so you're completely right though. You know, you have to be at some point put out there to play.
Ben Thatcher though.
Thatch was there, yeah. Character Thatch.
Have you heard a few tales?
Yeah, anyone? Thatch.
Not yet, no. Wow. We've heard a few stories though.
Thatch is mental, mate. Yeah, proper mental. Him and Weaves together, we're both at Man City together. So, yeah.
Thickest thieves.
They were your thickest thieves, yeah. Thickest thieves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Thatch was a good character to have around the place.
He was a nasty fucker, wasn't he?
Well, it's
on
funny.
On the field.
Yeah. He left a few bad tackles on people. I mean, he'd done that guy with the elbow.
Mendes won it. Was it Mendes?
Yeah, Mendes, yeah. I mean, he run right into him with the elbow. I actually think, again, I'm speaking as someone that knows Thatch as someone that's played. I actually think that whole experience ended up affecting him as a player a little bit, really. He might say it didn't, but for me, I think he was always worried that if he made one bad tackle, it was always, he's at it again, Thatcher. Yeah. And as much as I think he had the persona that he wasn't bothered, I think deep down he's a good lad, Thatch. And I think,
see a change.
Yeah, I think he'd have been more conscientious of, you know, when you do a challenge like that and it carries around with you kind of... You don't want it to keep
following
you around.
Build up as a reputation.
Yeah, and every tackle you make then is a bad tackle.
It were a bad one, like, though.
Yeah.
It were fucking GBH.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrendous. The guy's jaw was like Rose Ed, wasn't it? Jesus Christ.
You never parked in Jerome Thomas's parking spot,
No, Weaves loved that one, didn't he? Yeah, but Jerome was a character, mate. He had that high-pitched voice. Weaves could take that voice off, like, and he would say, is the baby Bentley going to go big man? And he had that voice. We was on a plane once, landing in Leeds Bradford Airport, I think it is, up there. And it was windy, like, proper. One of the worst plane journeys, you know, you have a little private plane and you're coming in. And I never forget, all I can remember is, fucking hell, someone ring my mum, tell her all my money's under the sofa, man. You can see him screaming it in the back, and like this plane's coming down, like we're side to side, like an injury. I'm not going to be able to spend my money. Oh, fucking brilliant, you know. But that was Jerome. He was a character. He was a talented boy as well, and you know, he was a good player. We had some good players. We had some good players at Newcastle as well.
What an offer.
Yet again.
Where else can you get 8 craft beers for £5.95? They're quite expensive, some of them, you know.
I know they are.
You know, for
beers of that quality.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They are. You can talk £3.5 a bottle for some of them.
It's good gear, isn't it? That's why.
Well, yeah.
If you're not a fan of the dark ales, you can choose the light option. Light lagers.
Which are the ones for me, I'll be honest with you. I prefer them ones.
Yeah, oh, I can mix.
I've tried both.
Mix and match.
Tried both, but for me personally, the light ones are better.
Every pack comes with a magazine.
It does. Ferment magazine and a snack pack.
It's a bloody good read as well.
Yeah, the snacks are bloody tremendous.
Yes. Always nice and nibble, isn't it, when you're having a drink?
Yeah. You can cancel any time.
You can.
I do like that about it.
Yeah.
If you want to pause up for a month, if you're off the air.
Have a week off.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're doing dry March, dry February, dry whatever month you're doing,
just pause it.
Or are you going white and get two boxes in?
Which is probably the better option.
And of course, as listeners of Under the Cosh, special offer time.
Yeah, we are the podcast that just keeps on giving.
Changing lives.
£5.95 delivery charge.
That's all you pay?
That's what you pay. And the 8 craft beers come free. Did you hear what I said?
Free.
Free.
Free of charge. 8 craft beers on your doorstep for £5.95 postage.
What more could you possibly want?
The code? What's the code?
The code is www.beer52.com/kosh.
Ooh.
I'll repeat that just in case you're struggling with Barnsley tones. www.beer52.com/kosh, and thank us later.
Well, we'll put that link in the description as well of the podcast so you can just click straight on it and pick your beers up. So that's the first case, absolutely free apart from the postage.
£5.95.
And your magazine. And your nibbles. Bloody marvellous. Do the Unknowns wins this week?
Ah, you know I did it. I don't miss. I don't other leagues as well, mate.
A couple of cracking winners. I think they were the £300-600 apiece.
Yeah, and believe it or believe it not, two of them are from Barnsley.
They were.
I'm telling you.
You know what that is, don't you?
What?
Life changing. For two Barnsley locals.
Oh, well, bloody hell, that would be a villa on the estuary.
He's having a four-bed fucking detached built, Ricky, if he's 600 snockers in Barnsley. And I seen someone on Twitter that somebody else from Barnsley, I don't know him, but somebody else from Barnsley had also shared the pot.
They'll be competing for the same pot.
I'm telling you.
I've never been on the leaderboard, but I just like watching the result. I just like sitting with Jeff, having a can of lager.
Well, in the gym, man.
No, I like a lager on a who knows when Saturday.
Yeah. Special occasion.
Goes all that. Don't mind a few extra calories on a Saturday.
Yeah. And just whether I win or lose to taking part.
You're on the booze.
Bit of interest. Yeah.
Well, if you've not got involved before, then just get onto the Who Knows Wins app on Apple iStore or Google Play. Fiver in the pot. Predict your 10 games. Top 10, I think, get a split of the winnings.
It's definitely worth it for a fiver, isn't it? Because you know, the same as we said before, you don't have to get them all right to stand a chance of winning.
Nah, just adds a bit of spice to your Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, so get it downloaded and get involved in the next Under the Cosh League.
Tell your pals.
Was spice the right word?
Bit of spice, paprika.
I don't know what do you have paprika on?
It's not got much of a kick. I think it's more of a
chili.
A chili.
Yeah.
As soon as Pards left, you're joining him.
What, to Newcastle?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's funny because he'd been to Southampton, hadn't he? And I didn't go to Southampton. I can't remember the reason why. I think because it was the chairman was a bit of a lunatic down there, and I don't think they even foresee it was going to be that long a job down there with that chairman. And I was with Parky, Phil Parkson, at Charlton, and I was quite happy there. And then Pards, I'd heard Pards had been linked to a job, but I wasn't sure which. It was all hush hush. And then he rang me. He said, "Oh, meet me at the road. I've got a job, but I can't tell you where it is." So I met him, and he said, "Look, I've got a job, but you're gonna have to move away. Do you fancy it?" And I was thinking to myself, hell yeah, happy day, Spain, something like that, Italy, you know what I mean, running right away with myself like I do. And he said, "Well, look, I can't tell you what it is, you know, because I want to build your ropes up." And I'm thinking, fucking hell, whatever, beautiful, I want to touch. He said, "But, you know, if you want to come, I want you to come with me, you know, as my goalie coach." I said, "Brilliant." And then literally, fucking it broke about 4 days later, Newcastle. And I was like, Newcastle. I didn't even know. I swear, I'd never been to Newcastle in my life. This sounds mental, right? I'd never been to Newcastle. I couldn't even tell you where it was on the map, right? I'm not even kidding. I was like, Newcastle, never looked at that. Fucking hell, it's miles away. But it's cold up there. Typical, like, southerner. And I didn't hear from him. And I thought, Jesus Christ, he's throwing me red herring here. I ain't going to get the job. I'm not, you know, struggling. And I went into Charlton Park. He said, look, Pars wants to stay in Newcastle. And, he rung me up and I went up to Newcastle, yeah. And literally stepped off the plane. It'd probably been the worst winter for years. It was like 4 foot of snow. It was like landing in Siberia. I kid you, like, I got off like a typical London southerner. Got off there, walked out. And, fuck it, it was freezing.
Were you like Rocky getting off in
Russia? Yeah, it was like that. And like literally, I didn't train the goalkeepers on the grass for 6 weeks. It was that much snow. It never went. So I was always like in the gym and it was like snow for ages. But it was a brilliant experience. You know, listen, Newcastle was brilliant. I'll define anyone to say anything bad about the club and the place and the area. I mean, it's probably the nicest place I've lived.
Yeah.
So did your missus come up or not?
No. So I moved up there and then there was a few clubs sort of trying to sign Freddie. I think Chelsea were sniffing around, Arsenal and Man City were all sniffing around.
Where was he at this point?
He was at Palace. So he was only 13, 14 at Palace. And I went and watched Freddie play at Chelsea for Palace. And I turned up there and then the academy goalie coach was standing over there. And I was like, who are you doing? He went, been sent by the hierarchy to come and look at Freddie, see if he's good as everyone's saying.
Newcastle.
So Mike and the chief exec, Darren and Bias, and had sent the academy's goalie coach.
So you hadn't had any word
no one
in
had said, no, I know people might find this is mental, but no one had said nothing to me.
Right.
So they obviously got whispered. So he said, look, I'm going to be honest, I've come to watch Freddie. And in this particular game, he played really well. So then I go back to Newcastle that week and then I get a call from Derek saying, we want to sign Freddie. Mike wants to sign Freddie. And I said, well, look, it's not quite as easy as that. He's his own commodity. You know, he's not coming because I'm here. And he said, well, look, Mike's going to make it impossible for you not to sign. He said, you're his goalie coach. He wants the best young talent at the club. That's so, you know, he's not saying you're going to sign just because you're his dad, but he'll make Freddie an offer and get him up. And they've done it all properly. They brought him up, my wife up, my daughter up, showed him around. I was really kept out the way of it, bizarrely. So I said, okay, let's leave. And he looked around and Fred loved it. You know, he loved the fact they said, you won't have to go to school, you'll be schooled on site. He was like buzzing with that. So that was the scene. And then they signed him, yeah. And then they signed him. And it was a weird one at first because I was like, well, how's this going to work, you know, for you and for me? And none of the lads knew he was my son. Like, you know, none of the boys, like when they come up.
Prefer it like that.
Well, at the beginning, when he came out training with the first team, like 15, he'd sometimes come out training with the first team. Colaccini and Kabaya, they didn't know. They just thought he was like Freddie. They didn't know. They put two of them together. And one day he went, he's never called me dad on the training pitch ever. And it's one day he must have said, here, dad, pass that over. And I remember Kabaya going, it's your son. I went, well, yeah. He went, I didn't know that. It was like about a year, 18 months into it. And the lads didn't know, so it was kind of nice that he built up his own respect to that.
Yeah, yeah. So from an outside perspective, I bet.
Yeah,
loads everyone. Of people said, oh,
yeah, correct. Yeah.
His dad sorted him out at Newcastle.
Yeah. Exactly that. Exactly. Everyone always surmises that. And listen, it doesn't work like that, football. It generally doesn't.
So did Freddie move up with you? So, or did Freddie move up into Diggs?
No. So then what happened is, my wife and my daughter, we all moved up. The whole family moved up. We rented a house up there in Ponteland. And we loved it, you know. Made loads of friends up there, and actually it was quite heartbreaking to leave.
Do you think your missus had moved up if Freddie had not done?
No.
Oh, you think you'd just been up there on your own?
Yeah, I'd be having a brilliant time.
Fuck off, Freddie! You fucking killed me.
Yeah, I was like that. Fucking hell, Freddie. Why couldn't you go to Man City? So yeah, no, we loved it. I mean, listen, you saying it to people down south, like the northeast, they're looking at it and go, yeah, of course it's brilliant, and it really is. I mean, all our friends are still up there now, and you know, we loved it there.
Did you feel that tension straight away? You know, that all the Cockney mafia and all that was going on.
No, not originally. The first season we had a little bit of tension because obviously Pards weren't first choice, and there was some older pros in the club, and it was all a bit, you know, feeling each other out.
Who were in the team then when you all went first? Went
so we'd have had Alan Smith, Joey Barton, Colaccini, Gutierrez. Sol Campbell was there, yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We had, you know, we had some big hitters there, some big players there. Andy Carroll. So, we had some big characters there.
Did he get the respect straight away, Pardew?
Did he get the respect straight away? No, I wouldn't say he did. I wouldn't say the players were, like, disrespecting him. But it was almost like, right, we had Chris Hughton, and we liked him.
Yeah.
And now you're here. And I think they all thought it was like an old pals act, and it definitely wasn't that. All the stories you hear, I'm like, could be further from the truth, you know, the ridiculous rumours about...
What, Pardew and Ashley being mates?
Yeah, never knew him from Adam, you know, so all of that was complete, you know, rubbish. But everyone surmised that, and then once that rumour mill goes on, people start buying into that. So then we knew that we had to sort of, you know,
win
get results.
Over.
We had to get results, and we had to do it right. And listen, we spent a lot of hours at that training ground, a lot of hours in the first 6 months of trying to get results and trying to get this team right, and it was hard work. I know people laugh, but it was really tough. You know, characters leaving players out. I mean, Parth did that. He was a manager. I had to look after the keepers. I mean, we had a good team, you know, really good team, and they ticked, and it was good. It was real good times. You know, it could have gone better. John Carver was a coach. Steve Stone.
Fans were on board.
The fans were on board. The fans were always on board. If the team was, yeah. This is a real cliche thing to say for the Geordies. If they saw a team playing for that shirt, which is really cliche, they loved it. And we had a team that would do that. I mean, Chet Tioti, God rest his soul, what a player. I mean, this guy would run for a brick wall for you, and he would be sensational. So you had him. He represented what those fans wanted to see. They had, you know, you had Demba Ba up top with Papacise scoring goals. You had, you know, Kabaya spraying the ball around. Some good players. Colaccini was a good player.
Did he always have the moves, Pardew? You must have got the phone out after the game. When
yeah, the old dancer, yeah.
That no, FA Cup one, man.
Oh, yeah, the FA Cup one. That was a moment.
You must have had a laugh about
it. You were just sat in the thing like, oh, fucking yeah, hell.
I'm not getting off this bench. No, I'm not helping him out again.
I was sitting there thinking, he did what he's doing. I thought we must have won. The game must be over. And then saw their bench going mental, and I thought, we're in a game now. And that was just one of those moments, wasn't it? I mean, the FA Cup does strange things to people.
Going on the Mike Ashley's got to be one of the most hated owners ever. How was he to deal with? Did you have much to do with him?
Yeah, Mike was good. Yeah, Mike was really good.
That's going to be a big shock to a lot of
people. I can imagine Twitter and all that be going mental now, saying, yeah, he would say that you're a colleague. Mike was great. I get some of the things he'd done, and they rubbed up the people the wrong way. I completely get that. And there was moments I thought, why has that happened? And I didn't, but it wasn't my position to ask that. You know, it's his club. But for us, or for me personally, my family, I mean, I'm fantastic. You know, he always, I mean, he'd land his helicopter training. I'd be training the keepers, and I'd hear this in the distance. I thought, what's that? And then this helicopter would swoop in, me balls would be flying everywhere. I swear, the balls would be flying everywhere. And he'd get out, and he'd be like, how are you, fella? Like, yeah, all right. You know, what do you call him? Chairman, owner, what? And I'd say, all right, Mike. And he'd be like, yeah, all right. And just one of you, and he'd think, he's around the club, he's like, brilliant. And he'd come in, and he'd have lunch with him, and he'd say hello to everybody. And
so did the players like him?
Well, it's funny because you had a group of players when we arrived that wouldn't agree a bonus schedule with Mike, and they in the end said, we're not doing a bonus, we don't want a bonus. So there was a problem between players and Mike on a bonus schedule. I didn't know the ins and outs, but they just didn't agree it. I don't know if the figures were miles apart, I couldn't tell you. But so there was obviously that initial problem with him and them. And I think they obviously liked Chris Hughton, and why wouldn't you? He had a great job. So there was obviously something going on there. But to us, Mike was great. You know, we had good players at the time. We had, you know, support. It's like everything. It was going well. But the fans are always had this thing with Mike, and I get it. I do. I'm not just saying that. I do get some of their grievance with it. And then on the other side, I think, well, look, you know, how much money can you keep putting into a football club? And he's publicly said he doesn't want to be there now. You know, he wants to sell. He's trying to sell it for the good of them. I don't know what more he can do. I get it. It's a tough situation. I really do. And I'm not saying
is he a Newcastle fan?
No, he's a Chelsea fan, I think.
So why would you buy a football club? Because you can't make money from one, can you?
No,
really.
I think
it's a strange one. You know, like obviously sports are. He might buy Debenhams now, right? Fair enough. He can make money off that. So why do you think he got involved in it?
I generally don't know. I think again, this is only what I'm led to believe over the course of time that he would have wanted to buy Chelsea because that was his club. And again, I might be a little bit off pace there, but Newcastle come up and it looks like it does. It
big
looks
club.
Like a big club and one city. Heritage. And I would have hazarded a guess Mike had it in his head maybe to, you know, the terms flip the business, you know, do well for a couple of years and sell it, get out. I think there was a lot of underlining, would it be debt or underlying problems in the club that then just snowballed and I don't think it was helped maybe by certain people he employed at the time and all of that.
So you think you like sat here today? You think fucking hell, I wish I'd never bothered with that.
That's a really good question because I'm sure that he's had some great times with it.
It looks like he's had a good time doing it.
He has.
Has his other businesses prospered because it's Mike Astley who everybody knows, as opposed to just being a random businessman who you walk past in the street and not recognise who he is?
Yeah, but I don't ever believe that he'd done it for that reason. I generally don't. You know, like you come across some chairman and owners that their goal is to be the star, but they can't be the football star.
Yeah.
They want to be the owner of the club. I can't for one minute think that Mike did it for that reason. Not one bit of me for that. I mean, he's a very shrewd businessman and I think as it's gone on, it's just become messy and ugly and the football clubs do go through that, don't they? They go ups and downs, but if you've got a man at the helm that the punters ain't having,
it's just constant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's never gonna get better. I mean, we got into Europe at fifth, and you'd have thought they'd have been thinking, well, blimey, this is great.
Doing all right, yeah.
But you know, and then the following year we sold all of our best players, and it became a struggle. And you know, that's where maybe as a supporter you're thinking, come on, add some more players to it, we can be even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work like that. We don't know what the books have to be balanced, I suppose.
How on earth did Pardew sign an 8-year contract? I've never seen a manager sign an 8-year contract before.
Brilliant, wasn't
it? Did you sign one as well?
It was the most amazing, surreal thing ever. So I mean, there's been a lot said about the 8-year contract.
And, I'm so fucking sure there has.
Yeah. And I can't believe I've signed for any other club anywhere in less than 8 years. I wouldn't really care. It was kind of a bizarre moment, really. I'd gone out on a Friday night. I had a friend up from London, an ex-player for Gavin Neblin. He'd come up with his wife and I said, look, let's go out for a bite to eat. There's a nice sort of like bar restaurant, As You Like It, it's called, just on the outskirts of Jesmond. We can have a bite to eat. The girls can have a dance. We can have a catch up. And that was the plan. Like all good plans, the girls want to stay out longer. We start having a few drinks. I mean, it's a Friday night before a game. I mean, come on, I shouldn't be doing this. Let's be honest. But I'm caught up with my friend. I haven't seen him. Anyway, we're having a good night. I'm thinking to myself, look, I've got to be going. But maybe say, no, that's a little bit more. I'm like, oh, God, I've got a game tomorrow. You know what I mean? Then I hear, fucking hell, Mike Ashley's in the building. I think, oh, no, fucking, that's all I need.
To Ingle. Yeah. Wrigley's.
I'm thinking, like, this is all I need. And then I see Mike, Derek Lumbias, and their crew of friends, and I don't know who they had with them, making a beeline to him. And I thought, oh, I'm in a bit of trouble here now. This ain't going to look good. So before he's got to me, I go, how are you, Mike? I said, I'm just shooting off, just had a bit of dinner with the family. I mean, it's about fucking 12:30 now. 1 o'clock, he's kicking right on. He said, no, you stay here. Let's get some shots. I think, shots.
I've got to warm my fucking up.
Yeah,
up tomorrow.
Thinking, fuck me. Shots. So I'm going, and my missus is looking at me going, oh, we're in a bit of shit here. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, you're fucking caused it. You made us stay out. So anyway, we have some shots, and he's like, there's some more shots. I'm thinking, fucking hell, like, what? I've got to go. How can I just suddenly say I'm going now? I'm all in here. So I'm chatting away and I'm trying to be nice, and he says, yeah, you've done a great job. Yeah, I fucking love you. He said, I'm going to give you an 8-year contract tomorrow. Mate, it was as if the music had stopped from the club. It was as if everyone had become sober. I'd gone from being really drunk and my wife dancing over there to my wife coming straight at me. Did he say 8 years? I'm going to everyone in the vicinity. Did he say 8 years? Should we rewind that? So I sort of went, no, honestly, Mike, I love it here. You know, you don't have to do that. In the end, I'm thinking, oh, mate, where's the pen? So anyway, I said, I appreciate it. He said, no, it'll be that contract. I'll be there tomorrow with you. And I think, we've got a game tomorrow, Mike. Like, I'd like you to keep it low key. Don't tell Pards I've been out here. Go mental. So anyway, we go home. My missus all home, and she's gone to, like, did he say 8 years? I said, I think so. I said, but, you know, he's had a drink. I literally turn up at the stadium. Like, you have to, when you get to the stadium, you sort of park at the top end corner, and they take your car away, and you walk up the pitch, and then down the tunnel, say hello to all the nice, you know, stewards and that, and then walk along the tunnel and into Pardsey's office. So I walk along the side of the pitch, and I'm thinking, oof, dear, I feel a bit rough. Hopefully no one's spotted me, but obviously ridiculous. So I walk down the tunnel, see all this stuff. How are you? You're up. Proper like sky there and everyone else. Hey, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, don't breathe on me. Walk up the tunnel, walk into Pardsey's office. He's reading the Times or whatever he's reading, chatting away. So he said, all right, mate, have a good night. Now, it's not a sort of question your manager made, so I'm off. I sort of went, yeah, interesting. Like, I think he knows, and I know that he knows, but how do we go about it? He said, yeah, he says that was good night, wasn't it? I said, yeah, weird night, mate. I said, like, might come out of something. I said, but he said, no. He said, you've got to go up and sign an 8-year contract after the game. He's told the chief executive to draw up your contract, 8 years. Now, I won't lie to you, I'm buzzing.
I feel bugging myself.
Game? What game? Someone else take the keepers.
Mike Ashley Summerhouse, yeah. Now in back.
So I'm thinking to myself, like, so he said, mate, what are you going to do? And I'm thinking to myself, what answer does he want here? Because I know what I want to do. I want to go and buy a fucking Bic and sign it. So I said to him, I said, well, look, what do you think? I said, I don't want to upset him. Thinking to myself, upset him? I don't want to upset myself. So he said, look, you can't sign that contract. He said, because, and he's right. If I sign that contract, what's John Stoney? He's the manager of the club. I've got a longer contract than the manager. It was crazy, really.
Oh, so this was just for you?
Yeah, just for me. This was at this point. So now I'm in a world of pain. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I quite have a longer contract than the manager. And John and Stoney, I've got a look, they're going to think, what a shithouse. You know, and it is a bit shithousery, but 8 years is 8 years. So I'm now thinking,
fuck you, Pard.
Yeah, so now I'm thinking, though, how'd you turn down 8 years with Mike? More importantly, how do I turn around to Mike and say, look, really appreciate it, but no, I'm not going to sign it. You know, that ain't really saying that's the wisest move. So we're now, me and Pard, to say, well, what are we going to do? This is like a fucking nightmare, mate. And I'm now thinking, yeah, it is a nightmare. As much as it's great, it's a fucking nightmare. So I said, look, I'll go up after, I'll see Lee Charlie, and I'll just see Mike, and I say, look, I'm really appreciative, but it's not right that I sign a contract. As much as I want to sign it, I love it here, I'm quite happy, I'll give it all that spiel. He said, all right, do that, then we'll do that. So anyway, play the game. I can't remember if we won or lost. We used to go up in the ballroom every match. Lovely ballroom. Mike used to be up there, good as gold. Win or lose.
Do you think he, in the back of his head, appreciated you being so loyal to his
staff?
I think if there's one thing, that I bring to any football club I go to is, like, I am quite an infectious character, and the team spirit. I've always been good on team spirit anywhere I've been, and I think he kind of maybe saw that, you know, I am good around the place. I'm not just a goalie coach, you know. I'm not just. I bring the staff together, bring the players together, and when it's, and you know what it's like, Parky. That's great when it's all going well. When it ain't going well, it's a hard job to do.
Yeah.
So that kind of went in my favour a little bit at the time, I think. But then I go and see Mike after, and I say, look, Mike, I can't thank you enough for the contract. I can see my missus sitting over there going, are you fucking mad? Like, seeing, like, mad like that. I'm going, I've got to do it, you know. So I said, look, I appreciate the contract, Mike. I said, but I can't sign it. It's going to cause you a bigger problem with, like, the manager, the assistant manager, and all the other staff. I said, like, as much as it's lovely, you know, well, I'll give you all 8-year contracts. Now I'm thinking, buzzing, but I'm now thinking, this is now a bigger problem for Barnes, and a bigger problem for not John or Stoney, because they'd be buzzing, but a bigger problem now. So I said, well, look, I'll leave it to you. I didn't know where to go with this now. And I'm thinking, fucking hell, of course I'm going to now.
Well, we should have stopped in last night.
Yeah. So anyway, that week, Paz pulls me and says, fucking hell, he says, you caused mayhem, mate. He says, like, he's offered us all 8-year contracts. I said, where's the mayhem in that? So anyway, he said, well, I suppose like anything, if you're a manager, you don't want to just sign a contract, you want to get it right.
Yeah.
So this went on now, and it went quiet a little bit. But so me, John and Stoney are non-stop thinking, any news in this 8-year contract? we can't really say anything, right? We can't really fucking ask Paz, because he's going to hit the fucking roof of us, like, because that's all we've been talking about now for about 6 weeks. Has he said about the 8-year contract? That's all we talk about. We've got no other conversation. Anyway, I can't remember where we were passing. Look, just let you know, I've agreed the contract with Mike, and you'll be getting your contracts sent to you. So we're all sort of like thinking, year, 2 years, what, you know, what sort of contract, Bud? Yeah, it's fucking 8 years, yeah. He's got us fucking tied up for 8 years, but anyway, he's going to send it to you and all that. Anyway, that week we get a message from the chief exec. I'm going to email over your contract to you. Mike's put a certain amount of money in there for you to spend on a lawyer to look at the contract, so you know it's proper contract. So we kind of expected these contracts to be like 8-year contract with like a year
severance.
Mm. Yeah, severance. Yeah, it's a standard sort of thing, really. Mate, I said it's a sports lawyer. The sports lawyer rings me up. He says, I've got this contract in front of me. He said, have you signed it yet? I said, no, I wasn't sure. Like, you know, what do you think? I mean, well, I'm telling you, get a fucking pen and sign it. He said, and get yourself sacked from that job as quick as you can. He said, there's full pay up in there. And that was a top sports lawyer saying, I went, really? He went, yeah, he said, he'll pay you up, you know, if it don't go wrong. See, he's invested in you guys, and he'll settle it within so many days. So we signed his contract, we couldn't believe it. But then it became a bit of a fucking noose around our neck in a weird way, because what happened is, whenever we play another team, all they talk about the opposition staff, like before the game, after the game, have you not signed an 8-year contract? So then we'd start trying to divert the conversation, because we knew Paz would be going, fucking Gary ass, like, he'd be going mental, saying, fucking that contract. So everywhere we'd play, he'd say, have you signed an 8-year contract? So we'd be like, yeah, like playing it down. But really, we'd think to yourself, yeah, we've got 8 years. Yeah, mental, you know. And that's how it come about, and that's how we ended up signing.
All over a few shots.
It was crazy. It was, I can't say it any other way. I can't glamorise it or unglamorise it. That was literally how it come about. And I'm not just saying I like Mike just because of that, but it did help. But he was a proper fella, like, you know. Honestly, I'm not just saying it, but being in his company is actually a lot of fun. And I know that there'll be people going mental in Newcastle. And I understand that. I generally do. But you could not dislike this man. You know, he had a weirdness about him that was brilliant. A brilliance and a weirdness. And I know that the fucking fans in Newcastle are going, you fucking yeah, tosser. My poor son will probably get battered on Twitter now because of it. But, you know, I can only speak as
you can only speak about your experiences with him, can't you?
Exactly that.
Where was the team at when you signed the contract? Were you flying still?
That's a good question, that. I really don't know if we'd been at the end of the season when we got into Europe or midway through that following season. I think it was at the end of that season. Because
it's half understandable then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Flying. Doing well.
Yeah. And I think, in fairness, I think Pards have been linked with a couple of really big jobs.
That's
including
what I was
England
about
job.
To ask that question, because you went, Pards were like, oh, fucking, I'm getting tied down to an 8-year contract.
Listen, I mean, when you strip it away, we took that Newcastle team from like where it was to Europe. I mean, and we was one win off being in the Champions League.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say that now, people say, really? And even I think, fucking hell, we was that close to the Champions League. I mean, that was quite amazing. It was brilliant.
When you say Pard's been linked with big jobs, Newcastle in the Champions League, there's not that many bigger jobs.
No.
Really, with the size of the club, if the club's doing well.
Yeah. Well, if he's, you said about the England job, if he's getting linked with
the
England job,
And then we played Benfica, and Benfica, we lost out there. Or did we draw? I can't remember. But, and then we played them at home, and we lost 1-0 at home. Last kick of the match they scored. We got a standing ovation at Newcastle for losing that game, which I still sense a tingle up my spine. It was unbelievable. Like, but then it was quite amazing how quickly it turned. So we lost that game, but got a standing ovation. I think we played someone like Man City, lost, and then someone else and lost. And then all of a sudden, Sky and all the no wins in four, no win, and you think, fucking hell, 3 weeks ago we was getting standard ovation.
Yeah, we played these.
Spun like that.
So
you know?
Quick.
Yeah, and it was really like, it really got ugly at the end. And it was really heartbreaking because I don't think people, and they're not going to realise, why are they going to realise? But we actually loved it there. We loved the club, we loved the people. I love the people there. I mean, my son lives there. So it's got, and I'd hope people would respect that. I do generally mean that about Newcastle, the club, the fans, the staff that were there. I speak to them all the time. So you know, when it got ugly, it was really not a nice ugly for everyone because we generally did care.
Well, I say, so this is a time where it gets a bit ugly. You're like, fuck them.
When did it get ugly? In time frame from when you got into Europe? It wasn't the next season, was it?
The following season. I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head. I'm sure we started quite badly the following season. We'd lost some players, and I'm sure it was the following season. And then towards the end of that season, I'm saying this off of memory, and I might be corrected. It was mediocre, and then the following season, we had a bad run. I think of like no wins in six, and then we went on a run of winning six on the spin. But it was still ugly. The crowd weren't having it.
They
might hate me for saying this, but they couldn't get to Mike because Mike you just can't get to, you know. So the next thing is the manager, and every time Pard stood up, they would boo, jeered, and so he was doomed if he didn't. He wanted to stand up and sort the team out, but it was detriment to the team because the crowd were going mental, and he was like, well, look,
what do I do?
Just trying to run the team here.
Did you have conversation amongst yourselves like, fuck me, we've got to be close to the boot here?
No, because we never felt we was close to the boot because we'd
got fucking fired 4 years.
But it was really bizarre because what happened is we'd had the bad run and then we'd put six straight wins together, and I think we beat Everton and we beat Man City at Man City, and so like it was like bizarre. And we went on this run, six game winning run, and then I think off of memory, and again, I think then Pards then went to Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace come in and it just seemed to. I think from Pardy's point of view, it was a case of, look, there's no better time for you, Mike, to let me go for the good of the club, you know. And I don't think Alan wanted to go for 1 minute because he loved Newcastle. And I know people might say, why wouldn't you love Newcastle? It's a fantastic club. It really is a great club, great city. But it just was getting to the stage where it was very uncomfortable for Alan, for his family, for all of us.
So were Palace a better move for Pardy or just the... I'm out of it, in that sort of way.
Yeah, I think I think at the time Steve Parish was really building something at Palace at that particular time. It was still going through its sort of, you know, been in the Premiership. I think Steve was looking to sort of kick on a little bit more with the club. I think he'd always been an admirer of Pards at that time, and I think people might find this crazy, but Pards were getting linked with some really big jobs at the time. So from Palace's point of view. It was a really good signing. You know, cool. They was getting a manager. And look, and I'm not saying this for any bias. Pards is a top manager. You know, like him or loathe him, whatever your thoughts are on him, you know, his runs, his stats, but he's a very good manager. And he has a way of motivating teams. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of negative people saying stuff. But, you know, he's a good manager. So Steve thought he was getting a good deal. You know, getting a manager he'd probably been courting for a few years. And it was maybe a good way of Mike relieving the pressure at the ground.
So how did, when you came to leave Newcastle, how did that happen? Did you?
Yeah, well, that was... so then what happened is you got
did
to...
Did the eight-year contract come to fruition
or
not?
You know, this is a funny, painful story.
I get excited when you take a deep
breath. Yeah, no, this is one of those moments where you think, wow, this is just unbelievable. So what happened is we got to the end of the season. We just stayed up. We get a message. Can John meet Lee Charnley at 2 o'clock, Stoney at 2:30, Woody at 3 o'clock? So we all know. We've had this call for. So we said, right, let's meet across the road in the Shark, buy a beer first, and then we'll go up one at a time across, you know, right opposite the ground. So anyway, I'm not going to lie. We're all like, Bazzy, happy days. This is us, you know.
How many years you got left? Three?
Five. Still got 5 years left. Yeah, still got 5 years left. So we're all thinking, buzzing. So, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, brilliant, paid up, Palace, lovely. You know, back home, you know, I don't want to leave my son up there, but football's football, you know, and people
but,
might...
But fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. Yeah, on your own, son. But people don't get it in the real world, do they? That football's football, you know, you, 1 minute you're in a club and then 1 minute you're gone. You're not part of anything. So John goes up and we're at Mean State having a beer, chatting away. John comes, we see him walk across the zebra crossing and Newcastle fans have noticed the zebra crossing to the shark bar. John walks in, he went, sacked. We're all like, well, yeah, we know that, but go on, what? They said, no, full pay up. money be in my account in, I think, 7 days. So I'm like, fucking hell. I said, well, look, I'm sorry, John. So he sacked, mate, but I'm fucking buzzing, you know. Fucking brilliant. So, like, kind of like, want to celebrate, but, like, it doesn't feel right, but, you know, there's football, you know, and this is the highest rate of football. Stoney goes up, comes back less than 10 minutes. He said, yeah, sacked. Paid up 7 days. He said, they want to see you now. So, oh, fuck, you can imagine me. I'm fucking like Rupert the Bear going across the zebra crossing and skipping. I'm fucking, I've got my peacock feathers up. I'm thinking, so I'm like, I'm stopping the traffic 1 minute. I'm going to get a 5 year pay up here. Like, hold on. I get in the lift, go up. And like, I'll never forget it to this day. I walk in and I think I said something like, coming in, Lee, let's sort out the pay up, mate. Like that, you know, just try and make a joke because I thought, let's not make it awkward for everyone. He went, oh, no, we want to keep you. I remember going, you what? you can't do. Why? That's not fair. I'm saying to this guy, it's not fair you want to keep me in a job. I mean, what other bloke says that? And I'm going, no, you paid them up. Oh, I've got to be paid up as well. Well, no. And actually, he did say, Mike loves you. He says, like, you know, you're the reason the contract's because he loves you, wants you to keep you. And I was like, fucking hell. Like, I'm shocked, like I'm devastated, but I'm now thinking to myself, well, I better look like I want to stay now because fucking I'm here. So anyway, I go down in the lift. I say, oh, cheers, Lee, I appreciate that. And then he must have thought that's fucked you. So anyway, I go down in the lift. I walk across the zebra crossing, like no moonwalk,
no
fucking Rupert Bear, no like high fiving. I walk into the sharp bar and John is saying, so we'd, nah, shut up. And they couldn't believe it. And I said, mate, I'm going to have to go home. I've got to tell my wife we're in a job still. And I walked in the house and my missus went, we're packing up. We're going back. I went, no, they want to keep me. She burst out crying. She went, it's so unfair. I'm speaking to myself. What's unfair? We're in work. Like, we signed a contract. But I actually figured, you're right, it is unfair. Why do we never get paid up? Anyway, and that was it. Like, I stayed. So I toughed it out through the fucking summer, waiting till they announced the new manager. And I've got pars now saying to me, mate, look, I wouldn't come to Palace. I said, well, God, I can't get out of this contract. Well, look, we're going to have to. I want to take you to Palace. Oh, well, fucking hell. Look, mate, if I can't get out, I'm going to have to get another goalie coach. Now I'm thinking, fucking hell, I'm up against it here a little bit. So I said, look, they want me to go on a pre-season tour to America. And anyway, just prior to that, Lee Charney says to me, look, new manager's being announced, Steve McLaren. He's really, really delighted you're staying. He wants to meet you. And I'm thinking, fucking hell. I'm going to be so off with this geezer that he's going to think, fuck me, I don't want this geezer working with me. So literally, right, I turn out a training ground, I've gone through all the emotions of like, I ain't going to like you, whatever happens, we're not going to get on. And actually, when I think back, it's pretty shit really, but I thought, I've got to get out of here, because like, you know, he needs his goalie coach. I literally walk in, and I've got this somber face, like I'm going to row with you, try to get us paid up, and he went, Woody, how are you, mate? I'm fucking delighted to see you. Come and sit down. It's a pleasure. I'm so excited to be working with you. I know this is the England manager, right? And I feel myself, fucking hell. What a fucking lovely fella. I feel myself, what a lovely fella. So I feel myself, fuck it, Woody, stay with the game. You don't like him. He's horrible. You don't want to work with him. So he's like, sit down. I don't know. Tell me about yourself. Oh, I'm in full like, pantomime mode now. Yeah, I'm a goalie coach. Yeah, but what else do you do? Nothing. Just go in. Set pieces? No. Like, that's my conversation, like this. Well, I'm buzzing to be with you. We're going to have a good season. This geezer is either not getting it or he knows that I'm playing the game and he's going to just play the game with me, right? Which I think was the actual way it was.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm thinking, fucking hell, I've got the nicest bloke in football. I can't fall out with him because it's just, like, impossible. And he was such, I've got to tell you, a top fella. And I'd like to go on record of apologise. I did apologise to him for my behaviour because I had to get out of the club. But he was such a lovely fella, Parker, do you know what I mean? So anyway, we go to Chicago right now. You can imagine all the staff, the backroom staff, they're all like, fucking hell, you're on the trip. You thought you was going to be getting your mate. Like, they're killing me, right? They're proper killing me. Like, but it's good banter. It's going to be an hard trip. I've got Pard telling me, what's happening? I said, I've got to go on the trip. I said, I can't just walk out. You know, I've got to sit tight here. Well, look, you're going to have a word with him. So early on, I meet Steve. I said, Steve, look, you know, we need to sort this out. You want to bring your own goalie coaching. I said, I understand that. I said, I know how it works. I'll get a move back to London with my family. I said, look, and I was being like all diplomatic. And he was like, Woody, I'm with you. He, like, it couldn't have been any fairer, right? So I'm thinking, he said, look, I'll have a word with the chief exec and I'll come back to you. Let's see if we get a result for both of us. Buzzing. So I rung Paz and said, look, I think we could be all right. It's going to be sorted. So just hold fire, mate. Anyway, nothing. No, nothing. We fly to somewhere else, play a game here, play a game there, nothing. So I'll never forget, we're at Chicago Airport. The fucking cases are coming round, all the fucking cases coming round. Like, and my boy comes up to me and my boy knows, like, he's only a young pro at the time. I think in fairness to Steve McLaren as well, he just gave me his debut out there. So my boy kind of stands next to me and he goes, my boy calls me fella. He goes, yeah, you're right, fella. I said, yeah, I'm right, mate. I said, look, you might want to distance yourself from me. I said, I'm going to have a fucking row here. So he's looking at me going, oh no, Dad, not now. No, I said, look, mate, I've got to do, you know, I've got to get out of this fucking place. So you go and stand over there and just keep yourself out of the way and pretend to put your earphones on. So I could see him thinking, fucking hell, here we go. So literally, the case is coming around. Steve McLaren is just fucking happy. He's like, I think he's saying things like, is this yours, Woody? Do you want me to grab it?
A bit of jet lag, don't
he's
you?
Just like the nicest fella. And I can't tell you, anyone that don't know Steve McLaren, he's a top, top fella. And I'm not just saying it because of this situation, but he was ridiculously lovely. And I'm thinking, fucking hell, this is going to be the hardest thing I have to do. But come on, you've got to do it. You've got to just kick off here. So I said to Simo's his assistant, who's another lovely fella. I said, Simo, what the fuck's going on, mate? He's going up. Oh, we're getting the cases off. I said, no, fucking, what's going on? He's fucking making something out. Is he mugging me off? So I'm building myself up here to have a row with someone that don't even know I'm going to row with him and probably wouldn't row anyway because he's such a beautiful, lovely man. I thought I'd like to say, Steve, how are you? Anyway, Steve turned around. I go, are you taking the fucking piss out of me, Steve? And he's like, look, you're going, what? I said, fucking, you're mugging me off. Like, now I'm creating a scene in Chicago Airport. I've got some of the staff thinking, fucking, Woody's kicking off here. And I'm going, like, nah, fuck it, it's bollocks. Like, you said you'd fucking sort it out and I'm fucking hanging out.
The players are here.
The players are there, the staff are there, everyone's there. The people that meet you to take you to the next destination, you know, like the, I think it was like Portland Timbers or something like that. They're there thinking, the fuck's going on? I'm kicking off, right? To the point where I'm even thinking, this is getting uncomfortable. Is he getting this or not? What? Anyway, they calm me down and he says, like, I didn't know you was that upset about it. I'll get onto it. And like, in fairness, he did and we forced it. And anyway, I get back to Newcastle and the chief exec says, look, it ain't working. I said, no, it's not working. I said, look, he's a lovely fella. It's not working. I've got to go. Anyway, we come to the deal. It was by no means the same deal as those other two got, let me tell you. Which still sits there to this day. And those two still say, well, you got the contract, you know. And then I ended up back at Palace with Barnes. So that was how it come about. It was a funny old time.
Have Steve you spoken to McLaren since?
Well, it's funny because then we played obviously Newcastle that season. And I kid you not, and I'm not exaggerating this, where you warm up the keepers at Palace is right by the tunnel where they come out.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed to admit this. I was thinking, oh, fucking hell, like, this could be awkward. You know, like, I was a bit out of order, Steve. How do I dress it? I'm thinking, how do I dress this? Literally, I'm warming the keeper at Wayne, didn't he? He has to come right by the touchline by me, didn't he? Like, in the world, just look out. I swear, Woody, how are you? Oh, I was like, fucking hell, you are such a top fella. And he come over to me and I said, I think I said to like, Steve, look, I need to apologise. I was a little out of order, but I hope you understand my reasons. He went, ah, oh, get it, it's football. Don't he was brilliant. Like, brilliant, brilliant. And I couldn't say anything else. He's just top fella. So that led me up to Crystal Palace.
That's fair play to McLaren as well, saying that. Brilliant. I understand.
Yeah, he obviously knew, didn't he?
Mate,
all along.
For me to think that that man hadn't been in the game as long as he had, knew exactly how it worked, he was brilliant. And like, could he have dealt with it differently? Absolutely not. He was brilliant. You know, he kind of let me do with the sort of like creating.
Clever, isn't it?
And you know, did it work out for me? No, probably not. But you know, he worked out for him. He let me create all the noise to get his own goalie coaching.
See, that we've always spoke about in past about players kicking off to get out and get paid up and all that. But that's the first time we've heard about coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have been stuck there, and it wasn't. I didn't want to stay at Newcastle. It really wasn't. I just thought to myself that, look, am I going to see out whatever manager here is for a long time? And I felt like I could get stuck there. You know, where'd you go from Newcastle, job-wise?
Yeah.
You know, there's Sunderland, you ain't going there. And then there's Hartlepool, which, with all due respect, I didn't want to go there, just in a rush.
Yeah.
So you kind of, I knew I had to get back to London, as painful as that was to leave my son there. But I knew my son was at a point now where he needed to have me really there as well.
You're on your own now.
Yeah, and I think it was just the right time for him to be Freddie Woodman, not Freddie Woodman. Oh, your dad's a goalie coach.
Yeah,
and it was that was a nice moment for him to just have his own identity. And I think he felt that after a time. Not that there was any problem when we was there, but as you get older, it's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good to be back home.
Really hard. My daughter struggled. You know, you have a lot of freedom up in the northeast. You know, a lot of freedom going out, do what you want. It's safer. The people all speak to you. I mean, I'd walk into the news agents, go, "Morning, how are you?" And the back look at me going, "Is he rubbing me? Is he going to rob me?" I was like, down here. Up there, you speak to some of the news agents for ages. You know, I can't stress how much lovelier it is up there. And I, again, I'm just speaking honestly. The people were nice and the lifestyle was nice. Beaches, I mean, mate, if you told me there was a beach in Newcastle just down the road, I'd said, yeah, cool. Beautiful, though, you know. I didn't even know
where fucking Newcastle was. Yeah, I didn't know.
Fucking beach. I was like, people didn't tell me, dude, to fucking wrap up, it's minus fucking 8. Fucking hell, got there in a t-shirt. But yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, top place. So, that was the Newcastle Palace experience.
So you're at Arsenal there, mate, enjoying it?
Yeah, different set up from all the stories I've told there, to be honest. A bit more professional now. So my professional head comes on. But now proper club, good people. And it's nice to see the next generation of young goalkeepers and players coming through.
So you still coach? Are you still on the field?
Yeah, still on the field. So I know you find it probably a bit hard, you know, athlete like myself. But yeah, that's good. We've got some good young goalies coming through. Look after the goalies from 23s right down to the 8-year-olds, really, with all my staff and that. So yeah, really good, and it's a brilliant club, as you well know. And it's having a bit of transition at the moment, but hopefully we're on the up, yeah, for sure.
We've not been in that level ever, really, have we?
No.
Have a bit. But, you know, like, the difference from Palace to Arsenal now, it must be just fucking gulfs.
Yeah, Arsenal. I mean, I, to give you sort of like a bit of a heads up on it, I spoke to the chef just before Christmas, and he said to me, "How many covers of dinner do you reckon he'd done on this particular day?" And he'd done 240 people for lunch. Now, that's how many people are at the training ground. So that's staff, players, backup staff. I mean, that's like a little mini city.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I was like, wow, I didn't realize that many people work here. You know, that's the size of it. And listen, it is a brilliant club. It is, you know, I was lucky enough to have a year of Arsene Wenger as well to see him work. And how can he not impress anybody, that man, with what he's done? But
did you go on first team with him, or were you similar?
No,
similar
I was,
what you're
I was
doing
in
now.
The role I am now, but I was sometimes over with the first team, helping out with the goalie coaches there. One of them had a hip operation, so I found myself helping out now and again. But what struck me of Arsene is, with all that was going on, and there was a hell of a lot going on, you know, a lot of hatred toward him at the end, which was really not nice to see.
Scandalous, really.
Really was, yeah. And I'm saying it very biased for someone that worked with him for a year. But he never changed his demeanour in the training ground. He was always very polite, very, you know, responsive and plastic. Yeah, and you never saw him flustered once. And that always struck me of, wow, this guy is pretty much carrying the world of this club on his shoulders, and he hasn't shown any weakness to any of the staff or anybody there in all my time there.
You think that were a self-confidence thing, though? I know I'm doing right.
Yeah, I think definitely.
He was accused of being stubborn at times, weren't he?
Yeah, and I think he was stubborn because I think his beliefs were his beliefs. And I think when you've had the success that he'd had, why would you change your beliefs? You know, I know we could all say, well, Alex Ferguson brought new staff in. This man was very loyal to his staff and very loyal to the people that done well beside him, and he was brilliant. I was fortunate enough to have a year working with him, from a distance, and he was great. But there's some good people, really good people there now. Hopefully, the club's going to start turning the corner.
Do you miss the day-to-day with the first team, the crack and changing?
Yes, I do, but I think I've been lucky enough that I've been... it's allowed me to really watch my son play. So although I've lost it in one hand, I'm kind of getting an experience now that I wanted to have, where I can watch my son play every week and be a dad, albeit a nervous dad when he's playing because I'm horrendous, and kind of watch him play. So that's kind of been my sort of trade-off now, which I'm really enjoying.
Well, the thing is, probably best to both worlds, because you've still got a job in football at a fucking incredible club.
Yeah.
But then you as you say, you get to be a dad and
watch your exactly
young lad play.
Yeah, exactly that. And listen, there's not a day, I don't want to sound like I'm gloating in any way, but there's not a day I don't pull into the training ground at Arsenal and kind of smile to myself, think to myself, wow, this is some place. Yeah. Really, really is. I mean, listen, we've played at the levels, us guys. We've seen the other side of it. So now when we see this, I think, wow, this is like really where, the elite are.
8-year contract?
I'm not sure, to be fair. I need to check the small print. I'd said to him, I wouldn't sign for anything less than 8. Wouldn't it be nice, eh? I mean, Mike, if you're out there, come on. Just one more. I'm still
just
good.
Just one more.
I'm just still good to go. Let's
have more years.
Let's have one more rodeo. One more rodeo, Mike. It's funny, right, because where their training ground is, there must be a helicopter path goes over the top. There must be a helicopter place near us. And the guys that every day, I must say every day now, that they say it before me. A helicopter goes over and give it, it's Mike, he's come back to get me. He's come back. I'm here, Mike. So hopefully one day you'll think, it's Woody, I'm going to go and get him. Good times. And I'm like I say, I'm really enjoying watching the next generation of goalkeeper and hopefully telling them how not to do it like I did.
Goalkeeper roles change now, isn't it?
Ah.
You also, same as you said, fucking kick it as long as you can. But now they've all got to be players, haven't they?
Unbelievable. I mean, the amount of work we do now of playing out for the back and, tactics of how the team will set up to do rotations with it starting from the goalkeeper. I mean, come on. If someone had said that to me and Akers years ago, Akers, Wood is going to play it into the middle. He's going to get it back. Then he's going to spread. Akers would have gone mental. He'd have gone, it's fucking what? I mean, he'd have gone, fucking no chance. And in fact, there's one thing I was going to say about Akers, which is brilliant. I'm sorry to go off the piece a little bit. But Akers, do you know Andy Crosby? Have you had anyone here, Andy Crosby?
He does
He does the best Akers impression ever, right? Ever. And there was one particular game, right, we played with Akers. We played, and this comes back to the Arsenal boys. You imagine saying this to Aubameyang and Pepe and all those players, Leno, on the way back on the coach. We played at Bristol Rovers or City or somewhere like that. I was at Oxford United at the time. We come back on the coach, we lost. And the word come down the coach, no one fuck off. When you get back to the training ground, when you get back to the stadium, put the kit on you wore today and be out on the pitch. We're like, fucking what? So that physio's kind of says, look, I'm just passing the message down. No one go. He's fucking fuming. So we're like, that's a wind up, isn't it? Anyway, it worked. We got back to the stadium. It's pitch black. The Kassam Stadium. We're all searching for our fucking kit. We're all doing it. Rather than anyone saying, I ain't doing it, we're doing it. We go out on the pitch. It's pitch black. He just ran us around the pitch Saturday night, 8 o'clock in the evening. We just run around the pitch after a game. I mean, imagine saying that to Amiens now. You've lost today, mate. Get yourself down the Emirates. We're going to run you in the bucket around the pitch. And don't tread on the corners because I don't want no stud marks on the grass. Fuck you, know, it's better, isn't it? So, yeah, so football has changed is your answer. And I wouldn't change any of that that we've done because that built in some good character to us boys. Yeah. So, yeah, good times, good times.
Woody, brilliant. Thanks for coming on, mate. Yeah. Absolute
and you pleasure. Were fucking stopgap.
Thank you.
Not at all,
mate. If I'm at the end of the DVD in the summer, right, the last little bit with like a 10-second like, story, I'm going to be fuming. No, I'll see you all look at each other there, who's going to tell him?
I'll get you on our Tenerife. We've got a Tenerife at the end of the year, so I'll be saying, get Woody on. He'll be coming with us. Yeah.
No, I really enjoyed it.
I'm tell
really.
Arteta, look, the lads want to take me for 4 days.
Nah, it's been brilliant. I really appreciate you asking me to come
top
on.
Man, thank
top
you
man.
Very much.
Really
thank
cheers, you. Mate. Cheers.
We mentioned it a few weeks ago. Are you, you still on the old brain's arm?
Can you not tell? I'm full of beans.
He's a new man, him.
Full of beans. I'm not forgetting as much. I feel as though I've got more energy. I sleep better. They're incredible.
I sleep less, but I'm more alert when I wake up. Work that one out. I feel in a positive mood, even though I'm waking up probably an hour and a half earlier.
Because obviously COVID, John, didn't you? You had the COVID recovery.
I had the COVID recovery, and I'm back to full health now. Feel on top of the world. Feels like I've never had it.
It's for the long-term benefits, though, isn't it?
The long you've got the long COVID and... for the recovery, it's perfect, but I've not told you over the guy, Callum, lovely fella. From Brains Art. He rang me. He sent you an email, didn't he? Just to make sure you took everything right.
I don't know.
No, because he said you didn't reply. You were panicking. He rang me.
What do you think, old brown bread?
He said, how's your friend, John? He's not a football fan. He'd never seen you. He's never seen a picture of you or anything. He said, is it right that he's 180 odd pounds? 190 odd pounds? I said, well, he's 60.
What, in weight?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's why. Because he sent me some... On the email, he sent me how many tablets to take on weight.
Yeah.
And I put something like, what about if you're 140 kilos or something like that? He must have thought, fucking hell, fine. That's a big old piece of kit.
He rang me because you didn't get back to him, worrying about this dosage he'd give you. He thought he'd give you enough to take down a dinosaur. You were panicking.
I thought I'd fucking...
He said, is he okay? He's not responding to my emails.
Great, why? I mean, I've never been great with emails. That's not to do with...
They're not great for courtesy and manners. We can't promise that, but...
We can't promise a swift response to emails.
But no, I think all three of us have
felt
given
the
it a whirl, aren't they, and felt the benefits.
100%.
If you're feeling a bit sluggish, you know, you want a bit of a kick, or you feel like you need a bit more drive, they've got all the added vitamins to give you that little bit of a boost.
All organic?
All organic, 100% natural.
My mate started taking them because he was struggling to concentrate at home, working from home.
Yeah.
And since he's done this, he's found a new lease of life.
Yeah.
Fair player.
I thought about giving him kids and then just putting Peppa Pig on. Concentrate on that. We're under the Kosh listeners, we've got the best offer online, I believe. Go on the website, you get 15% off with the code Kosh15, and that's indefinitely. So every time you put an order in, put Kosh15 in. You get another 50% off for every order.
It's not just once.
That's a game
not
changer.
Not just once. So all you got to do is go over to the website, BRAINZYME, brainzyme.com, and put your order in.
Kosh15.
Kosh15, get you 15% off.
Definitely worth a go.
Yeah. And honestly, if you're struggling or whatever, you will feel better. 100%. I don't chat shit. You know I don't chat shit.
Well, yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.